booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Happy Monday. Hopefully you had a nice weekend. Welcome to the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hello, Frank. You had a nice weekend?
A fine weekend.
Good, good. All right, let's move on. We've got some big breaking news to get to. So here are the top stories making news this morning.
This is the Top 5 at 5.
A horrific scene in Wisconsin. At least 5 people killed, 40 injured, many more actually, many of them children. It happened during a Christmas parade in Waukesha last night. Video from the scene shows a red SUV plowing through the crowd, hitting marchers and onlookers. CBS News reporting police do have a person of interest in custody, and the person may have been fleeing a previous scene where they were involved in some sort of knife fight. That is according to CBS News. We will continue to follow this story throughout the morning.
Kyle Rittenhouse speaking out for the first time since his acquittal. The 18-year-old will appear on Fox News tonight. In this sneak preview, he says this wasn't an issue of black versus white. Yes. Do we have that audio of Mr. Rittenhouse? We'll play it.
It never had anything to do with race. It had to do with the right to self-defense.
Right.
I'm not a racist person. I support the BLM movement. I support peacefully demonstrating. And I believe there needs to be change. I believe there's a lot of prosecutorial misconduct, not just in my case, but in other cases. And it's just amazing to see how much a prosecutor can take advantage of somebody.
Yeah, Rittenhouse, as you heard, he said he supports the Black Lives Matter movement, and he continued to blast the prosecution for misconduct. In the meantime, we're finding out more about the tragic killing of a strap hanger here in the city. Akeem Loney was sleeping on a 2 train heading into Penn Station early Sunday morning when witnesses say another man entered the car, walked up to Loney, and stabbed him, seemingly randomly, in the neck. Paramedics rushed the 32-year-old to a nearby hospital where he was pronounced dead. Police searching for the attacker, who was caught on multiple CCTVs inside Penn Station. You've got a ton of those surveillance cameras in there, so hopefully they'll be able to catch this guy. Loney's friends, meantime, say he was a phenomenal street soccer player. The Daily Mail quoting Loney's soccer coach, who says Loney may have been living on the streets after a falling out with a cousin that he had been living with. Transit crime, meantime, up 140% last week compared to the same week in 2020.
President Biden's troubled son once again in the spotlight. New York Times reporting Hunter Biden's former investment company helped a Chinese firm score a major deal to buy a cobalt mine. The metal is one of the main ingredients in batteries for electric cars. The deal going down in 2016. The Times reporting that by 2020, the younger Biden was no longer on the board. That company, a White House spokesman, says the president was not aware of his son's connection to the deal.
We'll have a little bit more on this story a little bit later on, but it is interesting because the New York Times investigation is a very broad-reaching investigation, and it found that this could be, the sale could have been a real, could be a real problem for the United States, believe it or not. Well, Democrat rebels Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are seeing a flood of cash rolling into their coffers, not by their party, but by the GOP. Experts say the two are seen as key in derailing President Biden's liberal agenda, and that's helped them rake in a ton of cash, including from Home Depot billionaire Kenneth Langone.
And that is your top five at five. A lot of other news happening, including here in New York City. Mayor-elect Eric Adams fuming over some recent demonstrations here in the city. Several people arrested in Middle Village, Queens over the weekend. Police say they vandalized the neighborhood during a protest over the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. Adams ripping the attackers during a visit to the area on Saturday.
Come to a neighborhood and openly destroy property, be disruptive, throw objects at the residents of a neighborhood, that is unacceptable in our city.
The 5 men are all facing multiple charges, including riot and obstruction.
All right. The governor's race heating up. New York Attorney General Tish James blasting current Governor Kathy Hochul over the weekend. James saying Hochul is neglecting the COVID crisis, and she points to the state's rising 7-day positivity rates.
The it's not really clear to me what she's saying that they would do, she would do differently from what Governor Hochul is doing.
Well, the other thing is that as you start to get into these cold winter months, people are starting to congregate together and also travel. I mean, the numbers we were told by experts would be going up. But yeah, it didn't seem like she made any sort of declarations as to what she would do differently.
Well, she was allegedly left shaken by him recently, but it appears New York Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis is still on Team Trump. The former president blasted Malliotakis and 12 other House Republicans recently after the group broke ranks and voted for the bipartisan infrastructure bill. Malliotakis told the New York Post she called Trump afterwards to try and patch things up, and the president has reportedly forgiven her, telling the New York Post, quote, I still support her. And in the interest of full disclosure, Nicole Malliotakis is not only my congresswoman, but a friend of mine for two decades. And she told me that very same thing yesterday when I saw her, actually.
All right. Well, speaking of all right, all right, all right. Matthew McConaughey is looking more than all right should he decide to run for governor of Texas, at least if it was held today. A new poll showing the actor would beat incumbent Greg Abbott by a whopping 8 points if the two ran today. As for Beto O'Rourke, McConaughey would easily destroy him, 49% to 27%. In a three-way race, O'Rourke and McConaughey would split the anti-Abbott vote, however, allowing the governor to slide into victory. But overall, 43% say that they would back the 52-year-old father of three, McConaughey, who really hasn't made it clear as to which party he'd represent. He told the New York Times earlier this month that he is, quote, measuring a bid. He said he'd only run if he thought he could be useful to the electorate.
All right, 5:08, quite a bit of other news happening, including some news with the weather, Julie.
Yes, yes, we have a freeze warning right now, and unfortunately we also see some rain. We have some light rain this morning. It's not going to be too bad. By the later hours of the morning, we'll have cloudy skies and a high of 51 degrees. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies with a low of 33. It's really getting chilly at night. Tomorrow, we're looking at mostly sunny skies, some 43 degrees. I mean, it's going to be chilly. We will see some wind gusts, though. Some high wind gusts are possible. Could be 40 miles per hour thereabouts. So if you have people, this is what I was saying on Friday, and obviously things haven't changed. If you have people flying in on Tuesday, there may be some delays, hopefully no cancellations, but just keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on your air carrier. And on Wednesday, we're looking at a nice sunny day with a high of 47 degrees. My brother and sister-in-law and niece are going to be flying in that day from Florida.
Nice.
So it looks like they're going to have very nice weather because we don't see the high winds that we're having on Tuesday. And again, mainly sunny skies with a high of 47. Nice night on Wednesday night. Chilly, clear. Thursday, Thanksgiving, looking nice. 56 degrees and partly cloudy skies. We may see some showers on Friday, but we're still too far away for me to go negative on you. Currently, the temperature right now in Manhattan is 50 degrees.
Juliet, you were talking earlier about the Texas governor's race. Well, there's some other news coming out of the Lone Star State. Beto O'Rourke telling CNN over the weekend that he's not about Biden, he's about Beto.
This campaign in Texas is not going to be about Joe Biden. It's not going to be about Donald Trump. It's not going to be about anyone from outside of our state. This is going to be about the people of Texas and what the people of Texas want.
He also reconfirmed his plan to ban AR-15s and AK-47s. He's announced he's running for governor. If he wins, he'd be the first Democrat elected in a statewide competition in three decades.
Well, another poll, another day. Another poll. This is not that bad, though, as some of the others when it comes to President Biden and his approval ratings. According to the CBS News YouGov survey, just 4% of Americans think things are going, quote, very well for the country. Still, overall, Biden's job approval rating is 44%. Now, that is significantly higher than some of the other recent polls, which had him down into what, like the low 30s, maybe inching towards the mid 30s. Broken down by the issue, he gets ripped for his handling of inflation, with 67% unhappy with his job there. Negative numbers, too, when it comes to immigration, the economy, foreign policy, and race relations. The one area that he's winning is his handling of the COVID pandemic, specifically with regard to vaccines. 53% giving him a thumbs up for his distribution of the vaccine.
And another high-profile departure from the White House. White House Communications Chief of Staff Emma Riley announced on Friday she is heading to the Labor Department. The move coming one day after the Vice President's Communication Director Ashley Edidian announced that she, too, is taking off. The news coming amidst reports of infighting within Kamala Harris's staff and a fractured relationship that she supposedly has with the president.
Yeah, I mean, when you have two high-profile people leaving, it always looks a little sketchy.
Especially.
But we don't know where they're going.
Still relatively early in the administration.
Exactly.
As well.
And going from the White House to Labor Department may not be looked at as a positive move when it comes to, you know, who they're leaving. But in the meantime, President Biden's Build Back Better bill. I can't get through that. Build Back Better bill.
No.
Biden's Build Back Better bill heads to the Senate this week. But experts say developments in West Virginia, of all places, could throw a wrench into Biden's plans, Build Back Better plans. Coal prices there are at a 12-year high. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin is one of two Democrats, as you know, that have been pushing back on this Biden Build Back Better bill, which, if passed, would limit coal production. That's pretty lousy timing right now. Experts say it could put the bill in real jeopardy now if Manchin continues to say no.
Well, speaking of that bill, Congressman Kevin McCarthy told Fox News yesterday that there's a real chance Republicans can defeat the bill once it returns to the House.
But if the Senate changes it, any of those changes has to come back to the House. So we have another bite at the apple here.
The Californian spent more than 8 hours stalling the vote on the House floor last Friday. He says he did it because the American people need to know what's really in this legislation.
And a Wisconsin Republican says it's the middle class who are going to feel the pinch when it comes to paying for this Build Back Better bill.
The only place Democrats can get the money to fund all of their giveaway programs is from the middle class, because that's where the money is.
That is Senator Ron Johnson. He was on the Cats Roundtable. The spending plan targets wealthy corporations with a higher tax rate, but Johnson says those costs will inevitably trickle down to the middle class via lower wages and more expensive benefits, which might mean fewer benefits for people because they are so expensive.
The GOP has a message for its members when it comes to marijuana. Jump on the weed wagon. Data shows nearly half of all Republicans support decriminalizing weed, and experts say those numbers will continue to grow as society becomes more and more accepting of the idea. In fact, Congresswoman Nancy Mace of South Carolina this week introduced the first Republican bill in Congress to decriminalize pot. She says more than 70% of Americans polled support the idea. Others and others say supporting the legislation could bring more progressives and younger votes to the Republican Party.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. International news now. One of the country's top military leaders issued a stark warning over the weekend. He was at a meeting in Nova Scotia. Admiral John C. Acalano of the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command says the U.S. and our allies really need to hasten cooperation with each other and really need to start working together if we're going to compete with China militarily. The warning coming amid increasing tensions with China over Taiwan and its recent missile testing, over China's recent missile testing.
5:15, let's get a look at what's happening in the world of sports. The Giants are hoping to collect back-to-back wins for the first time this season when they visit the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tonight on Monday Night Football. The New York Football Giants enter having won two of their last three games. They are 3-6 on the year. The defending Super Bowl champions have struggled recently, dropping each of their last two games, but they've yet to lose at home this season. Well, the Jets drop their third game in a row, falling to the Miami Dolphins 24-17 in East Rutherford. Joe Flacco completed 24 of 39 passes for 291 yards and two touchdowns. Elijah Moore caught eight passes for 141 yards and a touchdown. The Jets remain at the bottom of the AFC East with a 2-8 record, and they'll visit Houston next weekend. The Knicks were topped by the Bulls 109-103 in Chicago. The Nets hope to extend their winning streak to three games tonight. Brooklyn hits the road to take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Nets are first in the Atlantic Division standings at 12-5. Ryan Lindgren scored with less than a second remaining in the third period to lift the Rangers to a 5-4 win over the Sabres here in New York. And the Islanders' losing streak is now up to six games after being shut out by the Toronto Maple Leafs 3-0 at home. The Devils bounce back from a two-goal deficit to top the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-3 on Saturday. With that victory, New Jersey split its road trip down in Florida. Up next for the Devils is a matchup with the Minnesota Wild in Newark on Wednesday night.
You mentioned Wednesday and bad weather. I mean, we will see, it looks like, some, I wouldn't say bad weather, but just very windy weather on Tuesday. And that may lead to some delays and cancellations with flights. But it doesn't look like we're going to have actual bad weather on Wednesday. We'll have sunny skies. It's going to be chilly. But looks like those winds will probably simmer down by Wednesday. So that's good news. But in the meantime, let's talk about what's happening right now. Excuse me. It's 51 degrees in the city. We're having a little bit of a light rain shower in certain parts of our area. That will go away. And once it does, we will have cloudy skies today. And again, excuse me, a high of 51 degrees. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies with a low of 33 degrees. Tomorrow, it looks like we're having plenty of sunshine. It actually looks very nice were it not for the fact that we've got these high wind gusts, could be around 40 miles an hour. So that could be troublesome again if you're flying or if you have family flying in or friends flying in for the holiday. Tomorrow night looking clear, leading to a nice day on Wednesday, mainly sunny skies, a high of 47. Excuse me. Thursday, it is looking warmer. We're getting up. We're going to go from 47 on Wednesday to 56 on Thursday, with partly cloudy skies. I do see some sun there. And Friday, we may have some showers in the morning, but right now we're a little far off. Right now in the city, it is, or we're down to 50 degrees in Manhattan.
Let me tell you what's happening on Wall Street. The opening bell rings this morning after stocks ended the week in mixed territory on Friday. Tech shares pushed higher as global COVID worries weighed on broader markets. United, Delta, and Boeing all declined amidst a pullback in airline and travel stocks. So at the closing bell, the Dow fell 268 points, the S&P lost 6 points, and the NASDAQ still managed to gain 63 points. Existing home sales for October will be out this morning, and housing industry analysts expect some contraction. The experts forecast a 1% decline from September to an annualized rate of 6.2 million homes. Those numbers will be out at 10 o'clock this morning. And finally, the U.S. Transportation Secretary is promoting the big new infrastructure bill that President Biden signed last week. Pete Buttigieg said he is cautiously optimistic that the measure will help untangle supply chain bottlenecks at U.S. ports. He told NBC's Meet the Press that the trillion-dollar bill is a long-time investment in America's broad and outdated infrastructure. He also praised the House passage of President Biden's sweeping social spending bill, Build Back Better. He called the roughly $2 trillion measure historic. Juliet?
Thank you very much. The lawyer who helped Nicholas Sandman sue news outlets for hundreds of millions of dollars says Kyle Rittenhouse may also have a case. Sandman, you might recall, settled with two major news outlets after he accused them of making him out to be a racist during a Native American demonstration on Capitol Hill a few years back. You recall he was with his school and they were in the standing on the steps. Anyway, attorney Todd McMurtry says Rittenhouse, who was recently acquitted of murder charges, as you know, may have a defamation case against President Biden because President Biden, according to this attorney, sent out a tweet that suggested that Rittenhouse was a racist. So according to this attorney, there is potential for a defamation case, although he says it's actionable, but it's not definitive. So we'll keep an eye on that for you.
A chaotic scene out in Portland. A group protesting the Rittenhouse acquittal appeared to corner police on Friday evening. The video shows roughly a dozen officers in full riot gear getting pushed back into what appears to be a garage while being taunted with anti-police chants. The activists turning the area upside down, starting fires and damaging the front gate to the County Justice Center.
There were a lot of crazy scenes over the weekend and the early part of the weekend. Another crazy one, this time in Walnut Creek, California. Three people have been arrested after a group of roughly 80 looters stormed a Nordstrom department store. Happened Saturday night around 9 p.m. Police say the thieves ran en masse, tearing anything they could get their hands on off shelves and racks. All were wearing ski masks. Some were carrying weapons. Officials calling this a clearly planned event. Two store workers were slightly injured, but they're going to be totally okay.
And, excuse me, a terrifying scene in one of the world's holiest of places. A Palestinian teacher armed with an automatic weapon opens fire inside Jerusalem's oldest city. It happened Sunday morning just after 9 a.m. An Israeli tour guide was killed. Several others were injured. Hamas claiming the gunman was a senior member of their East Jerusalem group.
And just one more story following up that Walnut Creek Nordstrom robbery. On the same night, just minutes earlier, thieves hit up several luxury stores near Union Square in San Francisco. The thieves smashed windows. They grabbed pricey gear from Louis Vuitton, Burberry, Yves Saint Laurent, and Bloomingdale's. The attack prompting police in San Francisco to announce a ban to cars in that Union Square area. So banning cars so that, you know, I would imagine this is not going to last forever. I think it's probably just for the holidays, but they say there will also be a strong police presence there as well.
Well, there aren't just protests here in this country. Another weekend of vaccine mandate protests in Europe, several turning violent. Demonstrators gathered all over regions, including Croatia, Austria, Italy, Northern Ireland, and the Netherlands, where police opened fire on protesters Friday evening. Meantime, police at The Hague chased down angry protesters, many hurling fireworks and setting fire to bicycles. Several demonstrations happening around the famed Christmas markets, many of which are only allowing vaccinated visitors.
That's so scary, because those Christmas markets, when I went on a river cruise, they're packed. I mean, they're packed from the moment that they open, and they're packed until they, you know, the day that they start tearing them down. Lots of people there. There's concerns about terror attacks, of course, with that type of thing. But also, I mean, yeah, it's just, you're crowded.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just tons of people. So I can see why they would ask for that vaccine mandate, and I can see why people would be very unhappy about that. In the meantime, more fodder for theorists studying the pandemic and how it came to be. Leaked documents reportedly show the Wuhan lab was studying coronaviruses linked to bats just months before the deadly outbreak. The emails were obtained via the Freedom of Information Act. Just remember that, Freedom of Information Act, because we're going to be talking about that again. According to the group, White Coat Waste Project, that's a mouthful, the documents show experts at EcoHealth Alliance and U.S. government funders admitting viral samples from bats in Laos were being collected and sent to Wuhan for analysis. The revelation seemingly indicating that bats may indeed have been a key player in the COVID pandemic, but there's still more studying that needs to be done and investigating.
If you are, speaking of COVID, anxiously awaiting details about Pfizer's COVID vaccine, you had better be patient. According to recent documents filed in a Texas court, the FDA is asking that they be allowed, wait for it, 55 years to complete a Freedom of Information Act request on the approval of the Pfizer vaccine. So basically, in layman's terms, if you want to know how the vaccine's approval played out, you're going to have to wait until the year 2076 or just discover the fountain of youth, in which case that 55 years will fly by.
Yes. An investigation by the New York Times into the so-called clean energy revolution is raising questions about how challenging the path towards a healthier climate or healthier Earth, really, will actually be. Among the revelations in this investigation is that the U.S. and other countries will likely face price shocks and supply shortages as we embrace green energy. Reporters also found the sale of two major cobalt reserves in Congo, by an American mining company may have put the country on tender footing by giving the Chinese access to what will be an incredibly important commodity in the future. Pretty much exclusive access. And that sale involved a firm, as we told you earlier in the show, that was headed up by President Biden's son, Hunter. So that is getting a lot of eyes this story. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're looking at light rain this morning. It'll go away pretty soon, actually. Then we'll just have a cloudy day. And it's not too bad. 51 degrees for a high today. We'll get down to 33 degrees tonight with clear skies. Lots of sunshine tomorrow, a high of 43 degrees. We will see wind gusts. So if you have people flying in for the holiday or you're flying out, make sure you call your air carrier to make sure that the flights are on time and they're not delayed or canceled. Tomorrow night, clear skies. And that will bring us to a nice, nice day on Wednesday. Sunny skies, high of 47. Very little winds, so you don't have to worry about that. Thursday for Thanksgiving, we are jumping up. We're going from 47 on Wednesday to 56 on Thursday with partly cloudy skies. And we may see some showers Friday morning. But in the meantime, the current temperature here in Manhattan is 50 degrees, Frank.
Well, if you've been hearing Joe Nolan and Juliette Huddy this week and last week, there's a common theme, and that is travel. And if you traveled this past weekend, you saw them. People, lots of people, a sea of humanity at our nation's airports. That's because of two things, the holiday and the opening of our borders to international travel. TSA officials say they screened 2.24 million people on Friday. That's the highest number they've passed through since the start of the pandemic in March of 2020. Experts say that number is only going to continue to grow. Wednesday, which is expected to be the busiest flying day we've seen, not just of the year, but in years, we are going to see some real numbers on Wednesday as well.
Yes, we are. On that note, we are going to come back with the top five at 5:30 and more information for you, including an update on the Queen. She has revealed herself finally. All of that coming up.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliette Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. We have a lot to get to today. And wow, this story that is breaking out of Wisconsin is just horrific. Let's get to the top stories making news right now.
It's the top five at 5:30.
An absolutely horrific scene in Wisconsin. At least five people killed, more than 40 people injured, many of them children. Witnesses say in the aftermath they saw pom-poms, little children's toys scattered all over. This happened during a Christmas parade in Waukesha last night. Video from the scene shows a red SUV plowing through the crowd, hitting marchers and onlookers. CBS News reporting police do have a person of interest in custody, and that person may have been fleeing a previous scene where they were involved in some sort of knife fight.
Waukesha Public Schools will be closed tomorrow. Requesting that everyone continue to stay away from the scene. The roads will remain closed at least 24 hours. If you live in an area where roads are closed and you need access to your home for pets or medication, you can park in Lot 12, where the farmer's market is held. Go to the clock tower and show proper identification.
All right. Well, police right now, despite the fact that there is word that this man may have been fleeing this previous scene where there was some sort of knife fight, police so far refusing to rule out terror. We will continue to follow this story throughout the morning.
Well, speaking of Wisconsin, that's where the Kyle Rittenhouse trial took place. And now Rittenhouse is speaking out for the first time since his acquittal. The 18-year-old will appear on Fox News tonight with Tucker Carlson. In this sneak preview, he says this wasn't an issue of black versus white.
It never had anything to do with race. It had to do with the right to self-defense.
Right.
I'm not a racist person. I support the BLM movement. I support peacefully demonstrating. And I believe there needs to be change. I believe there's a lot of prosecutorial misconduct, not just in my case, but in other cases. And it's just amazing to see how much a prosecutor can take advantage of somebody.
As you heard there, Rittenhouse says he does support the Black Lives Matter movement, something I think would come as quite a surprise to many of his supporters. And he's also expected to further blast the prosecution for misconduct throughout the trial.
And we're finding out more about the tragic killing of a strap hanger here in the city. Akeem Loney was sleeping on a 2 train that was heading into Penn Station early Sunday morning when witnesses say another man entered the car, walked up to Loney and stabbed him in the neck, seemingly randomly. Paramedics rushed the 32-year-old to a nearby hospital where he was sadly pronounced dead. Police are now searching for the attacker, who was caught on multiple CCTVs inside Penn Station. There are tons of cameras inside Penn, and so there are tons of shots of this guy. Loney's friends say that he was a phenomenal street soccer player. They say he was fantastic, actually. The Daily Mail quoting Loney's soccer coach, who says he may have been living on the streets. He may have been homeless after a falling out with a cousin that he'd been living with. In the meantime, transit crime has been really jumped up 140% last week compared to the same week in 2020. Mm.
President Biden's troubled son once again in the spotlight. New York Times reporting Hunter Biden's former investment company helped a Chinese firm score a major deal to buy a cobalt mine. The reason that's important is because that metal, cobalt, is one of the main ingredients in batteries for electric cars. The deal, which went down in 2016, the Times reporting that by 2020, the younger Biden was no longer on the board of that company. A White House spokesman says President Biden was not aware of his son's connection to the deal.
And Democrat rebels Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema are seeing a flood of cash roll into their coffers, not by their own party, but by the GOP. Experts are saying that the two are seen as basically key in derailing President Biden's liberal agenda, and that has helped them start raking in cash, including from Home Depot billionaire Kenneth Langone and others. And those are your top five at five.
All right. Well, there we've been following the drama around this Theodore Roosevelt statue here in New York, and it is now officially the end of a long era. The embattled statue outside the Museum of Natural History is on its way to North Dakota, Medora, to be exact. The statue features President Theodore Roosevelt flanked on either side by an American Indian man and an African man. Critics say it subserviated the minorities. So instead of greeting guests and pigeons here in New York City, it'll now find its temporary final resting place at the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library near his former Badlands cattle ranches. It's a long-term loan, they say. The museum opening in 2026. The James Earl Fraser sculpture has stood on the museum steps since 1940.
Certainly is the end of an era. In the meantime, a lot of folks have been wondering, where is Queen Elizabeth? She had been in the hospital back in late October just for a night, and she had called out and apparently had not shown up at several very important events, including at the Cenotaph recently, where she honors the veterans. She's only missed that event in, I think, a few times, a handful of times in her many, many years as queen. But we found out that over the weekend, she attended a private ceremony to celebrate the christenings of her her great-grandchildren. This happened on Sunday, according to the British papers. Buckingham Palace not commenting, but apparently she was at the christening of Princess Eugenie's daughter. Princess Eugenie's son. Princess Eugenie, of course, being the daughter of the Queen's third child, Prince Andrew of Jeffrey Epstein fame and Coup Stark fame. The other was of the third child, a son of Zara Tyndall, who is the daughter of the Queen's second child, Princess Anne. So the Queen showing up to this event, it was a private family event, but she was there.
Wonderful.
So she has come out. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, you probably are experiencing a little minor downpour right now. It's light rain this morning, depending on where you live. But once that goes away, we'll have cloudy skies today and a high of 51 degrees. Tomorrow, we're looking at a lot of sun. So that's nice. Temperature will be around 43, so that's chilly, but we are going to have gusty winds, could be over 40 miles an hour. That's going to be problematic for people who are flying in, so make sure that you check your air carrier to make sure that your flight is not canceled or delayed. On Thursday, Thanksgiving, it's looking really nice. A mainly sunny sky, very light winds, and a high of 47 degrees. And actually, no, that's 56 degrees, rather. 56 degrees on Thursday. It's going to be really nice. You know, nothing freezing. Mm-hmm. So that's okay if you want to go out and chase the children around.
Yeah, well,
I don't know,
you know,
what
it's
people
fun
do on
to play football outside.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Friday, we may have some showers in the morning, but we're still a little bit far off right now. 50 degrees in Manhattan.
Let me tell you what's happening in the world of business. Stocks were mixed on Friday. NASDAQ gaining 63 points, but the S&P down 6 and the Dow Jones falling 268 points. Only a third of Americans approve of President Biden's handling of inflation. This new poll that Juliet referenced earlier, published by CBS News, shows less than half of those surveyed approve of the president's handling of major issues such as race relations, the economy, and immigration. Nearly two-thirds rated the economy as fairly bad or very bad, while 82% complained about items costing more than they have during recent shopping trips. About two-thirds noted items they looked for were out of stock. The IRS says almost all of the money seized by the service's criminal investigation unit over the past fiscal year was cryptocurrency. Mm. The unit recovered $3.5 billion in crypto over the fiscal year, which equals to 93% of overall seizures. This comes as crypto has become the main form of payment in criminal-related cases from which the agency seizes money. Most of the $3.5 billion is from a select handful of high-profile cases. The IRS said next year the agency could seize even more cryptocurrency than this fiscal year. And finally, janitors at Denver International Airport are back on the job following a short-lived strike. The employees contracted by Flagship Facility Services walked out on Saturday for better wages and working conditions. The two sides, though, reached a deal that afternoon, which included a $4 an hour raise over the next 3 years. Workers called the agreement historic. Analysts say this same dispute could play out at airports all over the country. Juliet?
We've been talking about a very strange situation out of China. Peng Shui, who was a fantastic doubles player, she's been at Wimbledon, she has been missing. And the International Olympic Committee president was able to secure a phone call with her over the weekend. Now, this is really interesting because Shui disappeared after accusing a top member of the Chinese government of sexual assault. All of a sudden, she accuses him, and the next thing you know, she's gone. There was a lot of concern. There was a lot of outcry. Well, she has appeared in a video call, again, with the International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach. They were also accompanied on that video call by a Chinese sports official, as well as the chair of the Athletes Commission. There is, despite the fact that you still see her and she's smiling in a lot of these, in a lot of the portions of the phone call, there's still a lot of question as to what's going on with her. People are concerned that this was forced and she was under duress. So there's still a lot of folks saying we want to talk with her in person and we want to see her immediately.
A pro-Israel group is launching a $500,000 ad campaign to put the squeeze on Ben and Jerry's parent company over the ice cream maker's refusal to peddle its products in Israeli-controlled Palestinian territory. The organization Stand With Us is posting billboards in North Jersey, including near Unilever's Englewood Cliffs headquarters there, that say, quote, "Don't let Ben and Jerry's melt your profits, and don't let anti-Semitism melt your brand." Unilever is Ben and Jerry's parent company, but the ice cream manufacturer is run by an independent board. These ads include a picture of a pint of double standard fudge ice cream with the word "hypocrites" across the top. Another billboard reads, "Don't let Ben and Jerry's anti-Semitism kill your profits," with Unilever brands Dove, Ben and Jerry's, Lipton, and Axe listed on the top. The billboards include the website corporatehate.com at the bottom. The site lists firms that Stand With Us, says promote corporate anti-Semitism by participating in the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against the Jewish state.
And I gotta tell, there is some crazy video coming out of a basketball game last night. LA Lakers star LeBron James was ejected from a game after I mean, basically doing an elbow shot to the face of the Detroit Pistons power forward Isaiah Stewart. James was ejected immediately. It followed a Pistons free throw into the third quarter of the game on Sunday night at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. Both benches flooded onto the court as the two engaged in a shoving and pushing and screaming match. And it was just not a sight to see. But there you have it.
Well, speaking of basketball, that is part of a very busy sports week this week. The Giants are hoping to collect back-to-back wins for the first time this season when they visit the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tonight on Monday Night Football. New York enters having won two of its last three games. They are 3-6 on the year. The Buccaneers, the defending Super Bowl champions, have struggled of late, dropping each of their last two games. But they have yet to lose at home this season. The Jets dropped their third game in a row after falling to the Dolphins 24-17 in East Rutherford. New York remains at the bottom of the AFC East with a 2-8 record. They'll visit the Houston Texans next weekend. The Knickerbockers were topped by the Bulls 109-103 in Chicago. That's where Julius Randle led all scorers with 34 points, and R.J. Barrett collected a game-high 15 rebounds. The Knicks have now lost two of their last three games. They'll return home to host the L.A. Lakers tomorrow night. The Nets hope to extend their winning streak to three games tonight. Brooklyn hits the road to take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Nets are first in the Atlantic Division at a 12-5 record. New York Rangers stunned the Sabres in the final second of play. Ryan Lindgren scored with less than a second remaining in the third period to lift the Rangers to a 5-4 win over the Sabres in New Jersey. The Islanders' losing streak now up to a whopping six games after being shut out by the Toronto Maple Leafs 3-0 at home. And the Devils bounce back from a two-goal deficit to top the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-3 on Saturday. And Rutgers hopes to remain unbeaten at home. The Scarlet Knights are hosting the Lafayette Leopards tonight. Seton Hall is back in action tonight as well. The Pirates are hoping to start the season 4-0 when they take on the Ohio State Buckeyes tonight in Fort Myers. St. John returns to the hardwood tomorrow night at home against St. Francis Brooklyn.
From a Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, I have for you a very nice report. Well, kind of nice. Today we're going to have some light rain in the morning, then it'll be cloudy in the afternoon with a high of 51. Tomorrow, Tuesday, lots of sun, but we are going to have some pretty strong winds. So call your air carrier if you have people coming in or you're leaving because there may be delays. Wednesday, we're looking at a mainly sunny sky with a high of 47 degrees. And Thursday, Thanksgiving, 56 degrees and partly cloudy skies. So right now it is 50 degrees in Manhattan. And let's bring you a recap of some of the top stories today. New York City Mayor Eric Adams, Eric Adams, fuming over some recent demonstrations here in the city. Several people were arrested in Middle Village, Queens on Friday. Police say they vandalized the neighborhood during a protest over the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. Adams ripping the attackers during a visit to the area on Saturday.
Come to a neighborhood and openly destroy property, be disruptive, throw objects at the residents of a neighborhood. That is unacceptable in our city.
The five men are all facing multiple charges, including riot and obstruction.
And a Wisconsin mayor says his city is traumatized after a driver slammed into a Christmas parade. Many in the crowd were hit yesterday, along with several performers, including children in a marching band and part of a dance team. The death toll is up to five, with more than 40 others hurt. The governor called the tragedy a senseless act. Police confirmed one person is in custody and plan to give another update later today.
And we're going to talk about some other information coming to you from Texas. Matthew McConaughey, listen to this, is looking more than all right should he decide to run for governor. A new poll shows the actor, if there was a, let's say a hypothetical poll, like a hypothetical race rather, if there was an election today, the actor would beat Greg Abbott, the incumbent, by a whopping 8 points if the two ran. As for Beto O'Rourke, McConaughey would easily destroy him, 49% to 27%. Overall, 43% say that they would back the 52-year-old father of three who has not made it clear as to which party he would represent. He did tell the New York Times earlier this month that he's, quote, measuring a bid, but he says he's only going to run if he thought he could be useful to the electorate.
The top expert on coronavirus is making it clear that being fully vaccinated does not include booster shots. But Dr. Anthony Fauci told CNN that could change after they learn more about the protection. He later told ABC News he hopes the extra dose will last longer so people won't have to get another one after 6 months or a year. The booster shots are now open to all adults with no specific criteria to meet.
And speaking of shots, another weekend of vaccine mandate protests over in Europe. Not happy, the folks there. Several turning violent. Several of these protests turning violent. Demonstrators gathered all over the region, really, in Croatia, Austria, Italy, Northern Ireland, and the Netherlands, where police opened fire on protesters Friday night. Meantime, police at The Hague chased down angry protesters. Many of the protesters were hurling fireworks and setting fires to things like bicycles in the area. Several demonstrations happening around the famed Christmas markets, many of which are only allowing vaccinated visitors, and that is not making people happy. Also unhappy are people who like to go to bars because they are in some areas being told that they can't go in to any bars unless they are vaccinated.
A report on the impeachment investigation of former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is expected to be released in the next few days. That's what three members of the New York State Assembly Judiciary Committee said yesterday. The report discusses topics including sexual harassment allegations against the Democrat, discrepancies in reported COVID deaths in nursing homes, and claims of a hostile work environment in Cuomo's office. Long Island Republican Assemblyman Michael Montesano says the report is, quote, very fact-driven.
So listen, if you happen to be at the airport this weekend, you saw them, you saw a lot of them, people, a sea of humanity at our nation's airports. It's because of two things, I can tell you. Obviously, the holiday, people were heading off on vacation, and also the opening of our borders to international travel. People are flooding the United States, people who have not been allowed in here for the last 20 months. TSA officials say they screened 2.24 million folks on Friday alone. That is the highest number they've passed through since the start of the pandemic in March of 2020. Experts say the numbers are only going to grow. Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, is expected to be one of the busiest flying days we have seen in years. Frank.
NASA is set to crash an aircraft into an asteroid in what will be the world's first planetary defense test mission. The agency says the purpose of the mission is to see if intentionally crashing a spacecraft into an asteroid will work in changing its course. The spacecraft, DART, will target an asteroid that's not a threat to Earth and will launch from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California. The launch is scheduled to take place early Wednesday morning, no earlier than 1:20 Eastern.
And the governor's race here in New York is heating up just a bit. I'd say it's percolating. New York Attorney General Tish James was out over the weekend blasting current Governor Kathy Hochul, who, of course, took the place of former disgraced Governor Andrew Cuomo. James is not happy with Hochul. With regard to Hochul's handling of the COVID crisis, James actually says that Hochul is neglecting the COVID crisis, and she points to the state's rising 7-day positivity rates as proof of that.
Gas prices are up for the second day in a row. The AAA national average for regular is up a tenth of a cent to nearly $3.41 a gallon. Prices are still slightly lower than a week ago, but higher than this time last month. Prices are lowest in Oklahoma, where the statewide average is just over $3.96 a gallon. On the opposite end, drivers in California are shelling out the most per gallon at $4.70.
Before we bring in Sid, I do want to tell you about the former president, Donald Trump. He was awarded an honorary black belt by South Korean Taekwondo chief. I actually don't have his name, but he has pledged to wear the full martial arts suit in Congress should he take back the White House. And you can see some pictures of this. I'll be posting them on my Twitter at JetsetJuliet.
Well, I don't know what to say to that. Let's
get. You see the pictures?
Yeah, it's pretty neat, actually. But let's get a look at what's expected.
He looks like he slimmed down, actually.
He does. Yeah, yeah. Maybe he's been doing some taekwondo.
Maybe that's. Well,
let's get a look at what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show at 6 o'clock, featuring Sid Rosenberg.
Hi, Sid.
Good morning, Frank and Juliet. How are you guys?
Great. How was your weekend?
My weekend was very nice. Did a lot of running this weekend.
Did you?
Like actual running or running
around?
Like
actual
around?
Running.
That's not usually your thing. Is it you're more
no,
the,
not.
The you know, weights?
Well, which I did plenty of that, too.
Sure. But you're trying to lose weight or something?
I don't know what I'm trying to do. But
Are you running from the law?
No, not
okay,
yet.
Good.
Danielle convinced me to actually sign up for two races this weekend. The Frosty 5K in Central Park coming up in a couple of weeks. And then the New York City Half Marathon in March. I haven't run a half marathon since 2012 in Fort Lauderdale. So but I lifted plenty of weights this weekend, too. So I'm doing both in an effort to stay in the best shape of my life.
Yeah, don't disappoint us that you've given up the weights.
Oh, God,
we can't handle
that. I did a two-hour shoulder workout yesterday.
Just
two hours. After I ran in the morning at Mile High, which is a place on the – there's about three of them in the city, and it's a high-impact treadmill classes where they have you going from 1 to 3 on the incline, 6 to 10 on the speed, and they play this loud music, and you get this little trainer. And I did one of those, too, before I lifted weights yesterday.
It sounds very Peloton-y.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine doing 2 hours on my shoulders. I have a meltdown when I have to do 2 minutes on my shoulders in Pilates, so that'd be a problem.
What's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show?
Well, just Rich Lowry in terms of guests, and obviously with the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict coming down this weekend, that awful tragedy in Wisconsin yesterday, there could be terrorism, who knows. Obviously, the Build Back Better bill is out there. There's so much to talk about, so Rich Lowry is our only guest. Yeah, Build Back Better. And I'll do a lot of football today, too, obviously, on the show, because it is Monday. Mm. A lot of action yesterday, and the Giants close out this week playing Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in Tampa Bay later on today.
No shot, right, for the
no
Giants?
Shot. No.
Okay.
Now that I said that, bet the house on the Giants.
All right. Glad
good
to see
you. Guys.
You too.
Happy Thanksgiving week.
Thank you.
Thanks
you
for your hospitality on the Beat Bernie segment on Friday.
Oh, you did very well.
How did you do?
I got all five right.
I tied. But they were easy questions. I think Matt Meaney took pity on me because I was
so
nervous.
Because you hadn't
slept. Yeah. But thank you. You and Bernie were delightful.
We have Bernie and Sid coming up, but also Deb Valentine will give us the update on what's going on in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where a person plowed through a Christmas parade, and now we're finding out the fire department, this is according to the Daily Mail, said 11 adults, including a priest and 12 children, were rushed to 6 different hospitals. They include several elderly women who were part of a dancing granny's float and also members of a schoolgirl's dance team.
Wow.
Ugh, horrible. So we'll keep you updated on that. This is a story that is definitely going to be developing as the day goes on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, stay tuned for the Bernie and Sid show coming up next. Rich Lowry is their special guest, as he's on every Monday. And as you heard Sid allude to, there's going to be a lot of football talk, updates about this horrible situation in Wisconsin, analysis of the Rittenhouse verdict, and a whole lot more. Juliette and I will be back tomorrow from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Have a great day, everybody.
Have a great day.